goodness and praise his goodness. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you so much, O God, for the giving of this day. We have so much to be thankful for in this season of Thanksgiving. And we ask that you continue, dear God, to pour out your love and power and presence in our lives and in this church as we bring our worship to you. May you find it acceptable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. And if you are a first-time guest, I do want to ask you to fill out a welcome card, which should be in the pew in front of you. And if it's not in there, we need to put some out. But at any rate, we are especially glad to have our first-time guests. We want you to feel that you're a part of us while you're here. This family of God that we call Calvary is not just inside these walls, but outside these walls as well. And we give thanks to the Lord our God for all his goodness and blessings upon us. Let's continue to worship with the passing of the peace of Christ.
Good morning, everyone. Even though there's a little bit of rain, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord today, and we probably need the rain.
Yes, we do.
I have a special praise this morning. My husband is here at church this morning, so I'm yay. And I have the twins today. Part of the what we're Corey is trying to work out is to let Teresa, which is Ivy's mom, have the babies every other weekend. So this is ours, and it was a praise that we were able to work it out to bring them in this morning and share them with you guys, because you are my other family. So there are lots of announcements in your bulletin. I will only bring special attention to a couple. Wednesday night choir practice for this week has been moved to Tuesday instead of Wednesday. So anyone that was not at choir practice this past Wednesday, it was announced. We are moving it to Tuesday. And if anyone would like to maybe come join us, we are working on our Christmas cantata. Would love to have anyone that would like to come to fill up this choir. We're a great gang. Also, too, there is an announcement here for a coming event for the December 10th council meeting. It's been brought to our attention that is the Feed the Body and Soul Sunday, so we will have to move that council meeting. Now, tentatively, we have thought maybe we could do it on December 3rd, but some of the members, chair people, will actually get together and kind of work that out, and if it does work out, we'll do a one call, Bob? Okay, we'll do a one call, and or it'll be more ground into the lines here. Maybe by next Sunday we'll know that we can have it on December 3rd. And I do invite anyone that has never been to a council meeting to please attend the council meeting. You may not hold a chair or position or anything like that, but if you want to know the workings of the church behind the scenes, come to a council meeting. You'll discover so many things that are going on in our church that you may not be aware about. And if this church means anything to you, you would want to come and see and maybe have your voice heard. Are there any other announcements besides what's in the bulletin that you can all kind of gander through?
Rhonda.
Yes, ma'am.
Just want to remind everybody that there are a few Christian calendars left in the office. We would like for you to purchase them. They're $8 a piece or 2 for $15. They make wonderful Christmas gifts, and as I've told you before, you can write on them with pencil and erase them, and they're just really a great tool for keeping up with appointments. We get a good profit, a good return on these calendars at the church, and I would encourage you to buy yours. Thank you.
Thanks, Dee Dee. Okay, if we can go ahead and open up to our opening words. It's on the back of your bulletin. God is the creator of the heavens and earth. God has made everything and given it to us. Jesus is our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend. Jesus has come to show us God's love and teaches us to love one another. The Holy Spirit moves in us, brings us together, and guides us in life. The Spirit reminds us that everything comes from God. Let us share in all of the good gifts of God. Let us worship our God together as one. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to 399, we'll sing Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be.
you would please turn to 883, we'll have our affirmation of faith. We are not alone.
We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
To size. We want the littlest ones to stand over here until it gets to the biggest one who'll stand over there. Can we do that? Can you come together and do that? Ashton and Daniel, you're probably the littlest ones. And then Mariana, Savannah. Okay. Oh, Christian wants to come and be the tallest. Ah. Okay, we have the littlest one and the biggest one. Now, answer me this question. She's fine where she is. Answer me this question. Who do you think can jump the highest? He didn't hesitate, did he? Who do you think can run the fastest? Boy, look at that. Now, does that mean that there's something wrong with these guys down here at the end? No. Oh, Christian says yes. Christian says yes. There is. We sometimes, they're smaller. And that they can't help, can they? And one of these days, Daniel will be so tall. I just know he'll be very, very tall. He might beat all the rest of you combined, right? That could be. Well, let me ask you this question. Who do you think can serve God the best? And look at that. Look at that. Oh, Mariana, thank you for raising your hand, and Daniel for raising your hand. Because you know what? You don't have to run the fastest or you don't have to jump the highest to serve God. We all have the ability to love and serve God, each and every one of us. Even the tiniest one here, Miss Ashton. She serves God through her sweetness, doesn't she? Yeah, what a sweetheart. All right, I want to thank you all for being here, and I'm going to say a prayer, and then you may get your candy. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, that you have given each one of us a portion of your Spirit in which to love you and love others. Help us learn from you, dear God, what we need to do to be in service for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, before the ushers come this morning, we have the privilege to welcome into the membership of our church two people that I have come to know. They have been visiting with us now for about how many months now? Has it been 6 months, do you think? Not quite. Well, Bill and Cora Tasker are coming to us from a United Methodist Church in Leesburg, and they can walk up here. And the rest of us are going to go to page 38 in our hymnals. They have, of course, been baptized. They have made their confession of faith and have been very active in churches that they have been a part of and come to us by transfer. So the question we ask of them is very simple. At the top of page 38, we receive them into this local congregation. First, I'll ask the question about Christ Universal Church. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? And then, as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? Members of the household of God, I commend Bill and Cora to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I will give them their cards, and then I'm going to ask them to turn around so that you can greet them. Oh, we did forget about that. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, it now becomes official. He has also been voted in already to be a trustee for next year. Welcome, Bill and Cora. Thank you. Thank you. God bless. God bless, sweetheart. Thank you. I invite the ushers to come as we prepare to serve and worship God through the giving of our gifts, our tithe, and our talent. Will the ushers please come? Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we come with grateful hearts to thank you for your goodness to us that is expressed every single day of our lives. We especially thank you for the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came to show us the way, the truth, and the life, that we too may know deep in our hearts how loved we are and how loved is this world that he has created and gifted us with his love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
But I didn't know Huey could until just this very minute.
He's been in the choir all this time.
Yes, that's right. Oh, I'm grateful to you. You know, that does, that's one of my favorites. I love that hymn. It is well with my soul. Whatever happens to us in life, it is well with my soul. Before we enter into our prayer time this morning, we have another little moment of privilege here because our bishop is made a video for us to watch. Ken Carter is our bishop for the Florida Conference, and this is an update on Hurricane Irma relief. And so Bob and his helpers back there will get that video going for us, and maybe one of you can turn down the lights. And what was that? Oh, okay, it's the video.
We are in the season of Thanksgiving, and many of us are gathering around tables of abundance, and yet after Hurricane Irma, we are aware that many are in great need. I invite you to also remember those who are not at our tables. And yet, even as we remember this reality, we claim that something greater is going on, something bigger. Even as the wind subsided and the skies cleared, the church began to be a part of God's mission, to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. In the lives of our people, in fellowship halls, in mission depots, in churches that fed the multitudes. This storm, this hurricane, affected our entire state, from Keys and Naples, Jacksonville and Ocala and everywhere in between. And yet our people, you rose to the occasion, and I praise God for that. And so in this season of Thanksgiving, as you gather with family, as you feast together, as you enjoy Christian community and fellowship, I invite you to be conscious of those who continue to be isolated, who continue to be devastated and in need. And you can remember them in your prayers. You can give a financial gift for their needs. You can plan to give your time, your expertise, your labor for the rebuilding of these homes and these communities. Florida Conference is an amazing group of people, and I know this is going to be a part of our mission for years to come. So I hope as you hear this call, as you hear the call of Jesus in your life, in our context in Florida, you will respond by saying, "Here am I, Lord. Thank you for listening, and God bless."
Very appropriate word from our bishop as we look forward to this week of giving thanks with our family and loved ones around us. We also remember those who are still struggling and in need wherever they are, and that we reach out to them in Christian love and kindness. And many of us are still in the position of having to recover and to be healed from the devastation that the storm caused. Let's go into our time of prayer, and I invite you to spend some moments in silent prayer and meditation, and just center yourselves and lift up your heart to God and see what God is speaking to you concerning today. And then if you feel called or led to do so, make your prayer known before us as we go to God in prayer together. Let us pray. for Mary Dixon, who's in the hospital, as well as Morel Robinson, also in the hospital. Oh God, we have so much for which to be thankful for. We come to you in praise for your goodness to us. But we have needs, dear God, for healing. And we bring those to you as well, for all those that are spoken and those that remain unspoken but are coming from our hearts. You know the need, dear God, and we trust and believe with our whole heart and mind that your presence and power is at work among us. Before we know it or feel it, you are there. We are not alone. And we give you thanks and praise, dear God, today, and ask that you guide and direct us and touch us where we need to be touched and heal us where we need to be healed. As we pray the prayer Jesus taught us all to pray when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and the glory.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing Here I Am to Worship. There is heart of
The reading of the scriptures today is out of Matthew 25, 14 to 30, and they are found starting on page 34 of your pew Bible. I'm sorry. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Most people know that the parable of the talents is not about money. Many, many sermons, and I'm sure you've heard part of them, have been preached that equate talent with the person's God-given abilities. That in English, the word talent doesn't even mean a unit of currency anymore, and it was. That's what it meant. A talent was a unit of currency. To us, however, talent means a natural or God-given ability. We speak of people as being talented, of having many talents, and it never occurs to us that a talent used to be a unit of currency. The funny thing is, even though we all now think of talent as a natural and God-given ability, I don't think Jesus was talking about our abilities when he told this parable. And I'm going to tell you why. We need to understand the context that the parable was in and who he was speaking to. Jesus tells this parable to the disciples. And he tells it to them after they have become enthralled with the temple. You know, the temple was a magnificent building. And Jesus tells them that this temple will what? Be torn down. And everything in it will be torn down. So when the disciples want to know? To answer their question, he tells them first about the wise bridesmaids and the foolish bridesmaid, the wise one who brought oil for the lamps, and the foolish ones who were too careless and thoughtless to have even checked their oil supply. He tells them the parable also about the manager who went on a journey and put one of his servants in charge of the others. But then the master returned at an unexpected time and caught the servant in charge mistreating the other servants. Both of those parables have to do with the question of when. The foolish bridesmaids, if they had known that the bridegroom was going to be delayed, they would have brought extra oil. And if the wicked servant had known that the master was coming at the time that he came, he would not have been caught mistreating the other servants. And then Jesus tells them this parable, the one we have today, the parable of the talents. And just like in the case of the other two parables, he tells it in order to answer their question. When? When will this take place? Now, we also ask the question of when. We say things like, well, when do I need to get my life in order? When do I need to stop doing what is wrong and start doing what is right? So, when is the absolute latest I can delay? How long can I put off beginning if I hope to be done on time? How much time do I have before I need to do what is required of me? And then, this is the hardest one, how can I do what I really want to do and still have time to turn my life around and prepare for Judgment Day? Have you ever had those thoughts? All of us, I think, at some time or another have done this kind of bargaining. And that's what the disciples were doing. They were wanting to know when this was going to happen. So the parable of the talents, like these other parables, is a parable about time. And specifically, how we use our time. Time is a gift from God. It's precious treasure that all living things have in common. We may think we own a piece of property, a house, or some land, or a car. Those are some of the major purchases we can make in life. But do we own those? No. Everything we think we have is entrusted to us temporarily, before it passes from our hands, as soon as we pass on. We don't take it with us. We may think we own the land, but the land finally owns us or our bodies. We might have talents. We might be athletic or artistic or brilliant or articulate, but we don't even own those qualities that we have come to refer as talent, because the fact is, they leave us even before we die frequently. Only time, the time we have to live, is truly ours, to do with what we will. But we act as if it's not a gift. Worse than that, we sometimes fail to think of God, who gives us our lives and gives us our time. Or we're bitter or hurt or angry or spiteful toward God. We act as if time is indefinite. time is nothing. We waste time. We throw away time. We have a bad attitude about it. And when Jesus offers us a key to abundant living, we fail to take it. When Jesus shows us the way to live, we fail to follow, thinking, there's plenty of time. We can hear Jesus' words when he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. But instead of searching with all our hearts and minds and souls for the God who made us, we waste our time. We sit on the sidelines watching the game of life being played as if we are not participants. Now, you and I happen to live in the most opportune time that the world has ever known. We are citizens of the most advanced civilization that has ever been. We live longer, enjoy better health, and we take for granted luxuries that our ancestors never could have dreamed of. But our longer and healthier and more luxurious lives are tedium and a bore without God. The psalmist says, we are God's people, the sheep of God's pasture. And St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. If we let the technological miracles of our modern lives distract us from seeking God, we shall not find rest or peace or joy. If we go through life without God, thinking, I have time for that later, we have wasted all of our talents. So Jesus was teaching the disciples not to waste their time. He knew that time is the gift of gifts from God, that every last one of us is living on borrowed time. The question is not who owns time or whether or not it is borrowed, but that we use whatever time we have to love God, to look for God, and wish for God in all that we think or say or do. Loving God, being loved by God, entails a responsibility. It's a gift. And time's a wasting. So when do we get started? We should have done it last week. We should have done it yesterday. And we should be doing it in this current moment. As we move toward Advent in a couple of weeks, I want us to remember that loving God and living a life close to God is not a duty or a chore that should be delayed or put off to the latest possible moment. It's, in contrary to that, it is to our benefit. It is life, it is health, it is happiness and peace. So the one guy with only one talent, of all people, should have known this. And so I want to ask you, if you knew in advance that you only had one talent, maybe only 1 year, or 1 month, 1 week, or 1 day, 1 hour, or 1 minute, to seek God's presence. How could you best use that time? If you only had one talent, what would you do to be sure not to waste? What changes do you need to make? And what do you need to do to get started right now, finding your way back to God? Because right here, right now, in these moments, it's not too late. You have the chance to do it now. To say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to know you and seek you and love you better than I did the moment before. Yes, Lord. Time is in our hands. Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing My Life Is In You.
Remember how much we have to be thankful for today. And we also remember, as our bishop said, those who are not at our table and those who have no table to be at. Because God's love is for them as well as for us. We're not somehow privileged over others. And so I want us to come to this table, spending a moment or two in silent prayer for those who have no table to go to remember, to know that we have been called to share not only God's love, but in concrete ways when we reach out to others. But I wish you all the greatest Thanksgiving in the world and pray blessings upon you as you leave this place and go into the kitchen for a good meal. May God, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. Let those who have need go in line first that we can serve them. But may his peace always rest upon you as you leave this place. Amen. Amen.